The two of you recently ventured up to Maybelle, Colorado, to go cover the Bureau of Land Management Sand Wash Basin in the Herd Management Area Wild Horse Gather.
Roundup.
That's a great starting point. Even the semantics between roundup and gather, it seems like BLM is saying it's a gather, but advocates who are opposed to these practices are saying, no, it's a roundup. Can you talk about this a little bit?
Well, that's basically it, Megan. I mean, when the BLM roundups first started in the 70s, they were called roundups. And quite frankly, I can't remember when it was shifted to gather, but it's basically a euphemism. And I'm not speaking for the BLM or for advocates here. I'm not quite sure exactly why the BLM shifted that, but it is basically a euphemism. You know, gather versus roundup is another controversy. I like to say roundup because that's what it is.
Megan, what was your experience watching the horses as they're running and being chased by these helicopters and put in these gates? Was there an emotional toll before you were able to kind of put on your reporter's hat?
So they had us watching from about a quarter mile away from the trap site, from more than a quarter mile away, Amy is telling me, from the trap site and the corrals where they held the horses. We were on a hillside far enough away that we could see, you know, the helicopters would bring the horses over the ridge, however many miles away. People were saying it was between 10 and 15 miles away, and you could see, you know, the helicopters and the horses coming, and you could see them run into the corral. You know, it was far enough away that with the naked eye, you can't tell, you know, how many horses there are, what color they are, what size they are, anything like that. And so when you're watching it from that far away, I hate to say it, but, you know, it doesn't seem that horrible from that distance. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's like, oh, wow, something strange. There's two helicopters hovering that low over a horse. Isn't that dangerous? Isn't that frightening? But it's just kind of like the horses, how pretty. They're running into a corral. And then it wasn't until after they had finished rounding them up for the day, they let us, the observers, go to the corrals and see the horses up close, well, behind a fence, from with a safe distance away, mm-hmm. behind a fence, but close enough, you know, we could hear them stomping, whinnying. Some of them were fighting with each other. I mean, it's up closer. You can tell that they were more distressed, and more than that, it was the people that we were with, too. Some of those people have been documenting these horses for many, many years, and they have emotional connections to the horses, and they would recognize specific horses in the corral and start to cry and be like, well, you're taking away my heart horse, the horse that I've been watching since they were born. And so that's, I mean, up close, it's that's when it becomes emotional, but from just observing it from half mile or however far away, right, for the first time without really knowing what's going on, it's kind of like, oh, so, you know, something you don't see every day.
Well, and I think that's a fascinating commentary, right? Because when things are far away, either conceptually or quite literally geographically, it does allow for that emotional distance. It does allow for that lack of interest and investment. But that didn't seem to be the case with this one. My understanding is that this roundup was one of the biggest in Colorado's history. And there was a lot of emotional investment. In fact, the governor and the first gentleman even wrote a letter to that effect. Can you speak to some of the advocates and voices that came out in opposition? Amy, especially with your perspective, because you have been covering this for so long, did we see new voices of opposition on this one?
We sure did. The Sierra Club got involved for the first time ever. Western Watersheds Project, which is a rangeland watchdog group, got involved for the first time ever. I mean, conservation groups typically, I'm saying typically, consider wild horses feral animals. So that means not indigenous to the range. And they don't consider them really wildlife, like deer and elk, mainly because they don't consider them to be indigenous. And since wild horses do have an impact on the range, some of the rangeland groups have, you know, not necessarily sided with ranchers, but they just haven't been in favor, or they have not commented on wild horses. So Delia Malone, who is a local here, she lives in Redstone. She has been working on the wild horse issue for a couple of years. And she took on the whole idea of working to change the Sierra Club's wild horse policy. And she did it. And I say she did it. She would say, no, I didn't do it. But she did. And the premise of Sierra Club's involvement has to do with rangeland. So does the Western Watersheds Project. They're looking for healthy rangeland. Sierra Club is also looking for balanced use of the rangeland. But, you know, I think it was just convincing these groups, understanding that livestock grazing, cattle and sheep grazing, is a big problem on the range in terms of rangeland health. And I know that any ranchers who are listening to this now will probably get as angry as they do about reintroduction of wolves, but it's true. And it's been proven. There's science behind it. The numbers are, you know, you can question the numbers all day, but there is some science behind it. And so I think these conservation groups are just realizing that the horses bat last, and they're not supposed to bat last.
Right.
As far as Governor Polis and the First Gentleman, if I remember the letter correctly, they were calling for a more humane treatment of the horses, more humane management. The Bureau of Land Management has not changed its management practices in 50 years, except to introduce some fertility control options. I should back up. They did change it. They stopped shooting the extra ones in the 80s and started putting them into holding. I know that sounds really extreme, but that's how in the old days, if there were some extra horses that weren't adopted, because usually they rounded up just as much as they could adopt, these horses were killed. That stopped in the 80s, and long-term holding came to be. And so now all these so-called extra horses are put into long-term holding at the cost of millions of dollars every year.
You know, Megan, getting to the numbers a little bit, you experienced some discrepancies in the numbers that you encountered in your reporting. And I remember you and I even talked about it when I was editing your piece, because it was a pretty large one. A BLM spokesperson had told you that nationally, it was his understanding that there was about a 60% adoption rate across the country last year. And when you dug into BLM data, what you found was that that statistic was closer to 36%.
First of all, I'll say that he's the state wild horse and burro lead, and he's the facility manager of the Canyon City facility where the horses are held. I mean, I really wanted to make sure that I was getting it right. So I looked at those numbers. You can find all of this information on the BLM website. It shows you how many horses were rounded up last year nationally and how many of those were adopted. And when I subtracted, 60% of the horses rounded up were left in holding, 30 or, you know, not adopted. Don't know really what happened to them. But the other 36% were adopted, so that's where he was incorrect.